It's Marketplace Tech for March 22nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. It's been more than a month since the Department of Justice got a court order requesting Apple help the government crack into an iPhone used by one of the San Bernardino shooters. In that time, there have been legal briefs, public accusations leveled about Apple trying to sell more phones or the government trying to establish a dangerous legal precedent for surveillance. A hearing between the two sides was scheduled for today, but that's been postponed at the request of the Department of Justice. Katie Benner is covering this for the New York Times. She joins me from Riverside, California. Katie, what do we know about what the government now knows regarding getting into this iPhone?
Sure. We know that on Sunday, a third party approached the Justice Department and said, we might be able to open this phone for you without Apple's help. And given that, the Justice Department said to the court and to Apple, we really feel obligated to try this method and make sure that we have exhausted every possibility before we continue down this road of trying to force Apple to help us. So the Justice Department has said in its filing that testing is required to determine whether it's a viable method that won't erase any of the data on the iPhone in question. And if the method's viable, it will eliminate the need for the assistance from Apple, thus eliminating the need for this contentious hearing. And we'll know what's happening on April 5th when the Justice Department files a status report saying, you know, we have or have not been able to get into the phone.
This might render, I suppose, this case moot, potentially. There's still a larger issue at stake, right?
Of course. I mean, even if this case is completely dropped, at the end of the day, Apple still makes devices with really, really strong encryption, and law enforcement officials will continue to dislike that and will continue to want to find a way to convince Apple that it needs to help them when they're working on cases. Even if the FBI is able to get into this phone in the San Bernardino shooting case, it's only a reprieve. We can expect to see this battle happen again.
Katie, was there anything else about what you learned from the Justice Department that struck you as interesting as this process continues?
The Justice Department has said over and over again that it had no way to get into this phone, that it really wouldn't have gone so far as to try to force Apple's hand in this extreme way if it could possibly have broken into this iPhone. People from all over the cybersecurity community, even Edward Snowden and other folks, have gone online and publicly talked about different ways that the government could, in fact, do this. And that's been happening for the past few weeks. So it does seem really unfortunate that the government only now discovered some potential possibility in less than a day before the hearing was set to begin.
Katie Benner, she's a reporter for the New York Times. Katie, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Ben.
In Las Vegas today, Adobe has a big summit. The company is coming off a very good earnings report last week. It made $3.2 billion just last year on subscriptions alone, as in renting Photoshop instead of buying your own copy. It also has plans to go far beyond some of the things it's best known for, like its suite of software for creators. CEO Shantanu Narayen is here to talk past, present, and future. Shantanu, hello.
Hi.
So today you've got this big summit going on in Las Vegas, and as I'm looking over the agenda, I'm seeing a lot of topics on marketing, cord cutting, binge watching, George Clooney's speaking, it looks like. I think a lot of people picture Adobe as a content-making company, not a content-delivery company.
For the last few years, we've been expanding our aspirations to think about the entire content lifecycle, from content creation to management to measurement, and monetization and mobilization.
So other than the occasional PDF download, I don't think of Adobe being something a ton of regular consumers use day to day. Have you guys missed the boat when we're talking creating a popular photo editing app for the mobile world?
We don't target the absolute consumer who just wants to do something and get instant gratification, but anybody who has any serious creative that they are interested in, Adobe continues to be the innovator as well as the undisputed leader in that category.
I know you guys are pulling data to improve your products, but how are you giving data to users?
You may have a financial institution, and the financial institution is able to cross-sell and upsell their different services. You might have somebody in the travel and hospitality business who is trying to ensure that they can provide you with the cheapest price and yet fill, whether it's their hotel or the airline reservations.
So you've been at Adobe since 1998. You've been the CEO since 2007. But before that, you worked at Apple. And that company is now in the middle of this really public fight with the FBI. Can you talk a little bit about your own thoughts on the Apple encryption debate and how you think about Adobe fitting into that debate or not?
We certainly believe that in terms of our own software, that if we intentionally make it weaker, that that's not serving the best interests of our customers. But I can't comment specifically on the Apple incident.
So at a basic level, you would say you come down on the pro encryption side of this, and you're not necessarily a fan of creating backdoors.
We believe that intentionally reducing the security of our software is definitely not in the best interest of our consumers.
Shantanu Narayan is CEO of Adobe. Shantanu, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
By the way, I asked Narayan whether he says the word for animated images with a soft G or a hard G. Point for Marketplace's Kai Rizdal, the CEO of Adobe, uses a hard G, GIF. I'm still a soft G kind of guy. I know it's wrong, but it feels so right. GIF you later. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.